Praise God. Well, Pastor, God's working in the lives of old people too. Praise God. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the touch of heaven here today. God, these songs have touched us all very, very deeply with a truth that resonates in each of our hearts. Now, would you help us, Lord, in the next few minutes to appropriate that truth into each one of our lives so that it's not just a historical thing that we're celebrating today, but it could become a living reality in every heart. Help us to understand the miracle of Easter. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, folks, we're here today to celebrate the long-established fact that Jesus Christ, who claimed to be the Son of God, died for our sins, was buried for 3 days, and at the end of which he was raised up from the dead by the power of God. That's a phenomenal thing in itself. Death was defeated when Jesus Christ went into the grave after dying on the cross to pay the price for the wrong things that you and I have done. The Bible tells us that sin separates from God. But God in his mercy, the scripture tells us, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. That means be eternally separated from God, but have everlasting life. He who had committed no sin, the scripture says, became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness, or that means as clean as God is through him. That would be almost blasphemous if it weren't in the Bible, that we can become through Jesus Christ as clean as God is, in spite of where we have lived or what we have done or what we have thought or what kind of a person we have been. The miracle of the cross is that we can be forgiven. The miracle of the cross is that mercy was in God's heart long before it was in our hearts. This is the miracle, not that we loved God, the scripture says, but God loved us and gave his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The one who, an innocent man in a sense, took the place of you and I who were guilty before God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 3, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. And so that is a historical reality. Not too many people today, if anybody, even argues that reality. There was a man called Jesus Christ. He did go into the grave, and on the third day he rose again, and that's established throughout history. I've never heard anybody ever marginally even refute that. But beyond the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what does it mean to me? How does it apply to me as a person? First and foremost, it means that I am forgiven. I'm no longer separated from God forever. Thank God for the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. You see, the one who claimed to have the power to forgive sins was also by the power of God raised from the dead, which gave validity in a sense to the claim that he said, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. I've come, he had come to so that we could be forgiven. And you remember the Pharisees were offended at the fact that he would tell people, your sins are forgiven you. He had the power to forgive us. He had the power to cleanse us from everything inside of us or all that we have done that has separated us from God. And the fact that he went into the grave tells me today that there's, you know, the grave represents decay and rot and finality and death and darkness. He went down as far down as he had to go to get every last one of us in this place today. It doesn't matter how far down you think you've gone, you've not gone far enough to escape the love of God and the forgiveness of God. Oh, thank God. Thank God for his forgiveness. Amazing to be forgiven. Amazing to be able to walk out of a service like today and say, God, I remember the first time I heard this. I thought, God, this seems too good to be true. all the things I have done, the kind of a person I have been, the kind of a person I'm becoming, you mean that can all be put away? I was a police officer back then, and I met another Christian police officer who told me, he said, if anyone be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old things in his life pass away, and behold, all things become new. And I remember thinking, could that be true? Is it possible? And this police officer told me, he said, I used to be a womanizer, a gambler, and a drunk. And I'm looking at a guy, it looks like he was raised in church next to a piano singing Amazing Grace his whole life. And I remember thinking, how's that possible? How can you change so radically from what he says he used to be into what he is today? And I was very, very, very stirred because I didn't like what I was becoming, honestly. And I think I'd probably speak for some people here today as well. We're on a kind of a downward trajectory, and we try to change, and we make promises. I did, at least anyway, at midnight at New Year's Eve, and they lasted till about 10 after 12, and then the promises died. I couldn't fulfill them. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means that though I was destined to be one thing because of my separation from God, in other words, I was destined to be something in this world. I was destined to be, well, you just fill in the blank, whatever that is. Like, you know, like some people say, you're just like your grandfather, you're just like your father, or somebody else that you've known along the journey. I was destined to be, but because of Jesus Christ coming into my life, I am now promised a supernatural life because of the presence of God within me. I don't come to a God who's aloof. I don't come to a God who goes back to heaven's throne after he rose from the dead and just folds his arms and says, well, it's going to be interesting watching Carter try to make it through life. No, I serve a God who said, no, if you will open your heart to me, I will come and I will abide with you. I will take up my residence inside your physical body. And as the Bible says, you will become the dwelling place of God on the earth, the temple of God's Holy Spirit. No more will it be a physical building in Israel or any other place. I will make my abode inside of you. And because of that, I am promised a supernatural life. In other words, God says, I will make you more than you are. I'll take you farther than you can go. I'll give you more than you could ever possess. I'll give you a new heart. I'll give you a new mind. I'll give you a new spirit. I'll give you a new future. I will change within you that which was dragging you down. Now, don't get discouraged if it takes time. In some things change just like that, and some things just seem to take forever, don't they? I don't know if older Christians, you know what I'm talking about, right? I like to use the illustration of the old-time Western movie where there's a gunfight in the saloon, and one guy gets shot, and he falls over the table, then he falls over the bar, then he goes up the stairs. There's always a stairwell that goes around behind, falls over the railing behind the bar, falls over the bar again, falls over the table, stumbles through the swinging doors, falls over the thing where you tie your horse, and you're watching the movie and saying, when is this guy ever going to die? I think most of them are just low-budget productions. They just got to stretch it out to get the hour and a half in. But I've felt that about some things in my life, but thanks God, they eventually die. Thank God. The old things pass away and all things become new. Thank God. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. That's the reality. That's the miracle of Easter. God with us, God in us, God through us, God carrying us, God changing us, God making us, God taking us, God saving us, God promising us. It's the miracle of Easter, of the resurrection. Yesterday, we were in a supermarket and we were getting some groceries. And you get to the checkout counter, and because it's Easter, there's a whole myriad of helium balloons, right? You know what I'm talking about. Why do they float? Why aren't they on the floor? I'll tell you why, because there's something inside of them that's different than what's around them. And you see, this is the miracle of Easter. God's Holy Spirit comes. If these balloons had the same thing inside of them as is around them, they'd all be on the floor. They can't rise. There's no possibility. But because there's something different inside of them, they can rise out of where they should have been into where they will be in the future. And when the Holy Spirit comes into your life,
you and I, we rise out of what we were to be or should have been into this newness of life that God promises that we will have. If anyone be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. If who? Anyone. Not just a select few, not just people who have it all together, not just people who have only sinned to a certain level and not gone below that level. Anyone be in Christ. Everyone. Anyone can turn to God. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. You can turn to God and he will forgive you. He will indwell your physical body, and by the power and grace of God within you, you will be made into a new creation. You'll be given a new heart, a new mind, new speech. You'll be given a new future. And eventually, when you die, heaven is your eternal home. How could anybody turn that down? And for what reason would we turn it down? I want you to think it through just for a moment. I remember I was driving to work, and I kind of ran out of arguments, and I had been reading the Bible for myself, and I was driving to work, and I pulled over on the side of the road, and I prayed a prayer. I said, God, if this is true, I wasn't completely sure, but I said, God, if it is, I open my heart to you, and I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. And that day, it was an if, but it was a very sincere if. And that day, God took me at my if and came and indwelt this physical body. I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel any different. I went to work. I worked my shift. I went home, went to bed. But it was the next morning. I can't explain it any other way. But when my feet touched the floor, I knew like I knew like I knew like I knew something had happened to me. I felt different inside. It was the beginning of a new life. It was the beginning of changes that only God can bring into a person's life. It was the beginning of old things passing away and all things becoming new. It was the beginning of an eternity with God through his son, Jesus Christ. What do I have to do? Do I have to clean up my act to get this? No, you can't possibly. We can't go deep enough into the garbage can to get it all out, folks. There's a time you got to put a lid on the whole thing and just say, come and save me. There's no way. We can't do it. We can polish up our act and put on a suit and try to change our speech, but we're still going to be the same as we've always been without Jesus Christ. No, what we have to do and what we can do is simply open our hearts and say, God, if this is true, I simply open my life to you and I invite you to come into my life as my Lord and my Savior. I give you my heart, I give you my life, I give you my future. I don't know how this is all going to play out, but I know that you are God, and I know that you do love me. And if that's in your heart to do that today, I want to give you an opportunity, because what we're going to do, I'm going to lead a prayer, and we'll all pray together. And I always say to people, just keep it simple. Don't make this complicated. Jesus, thank you that you are the Son of God. Thank you that you did die on a cross in my place. You took the place, my place, for what I deserve. The punishment I deserve, you took upon yourself so that I could be forgiven. So I invite you into my life today. I thank you for forgiving me, and I invite you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Do I have to feel anything? No. God will take you at your word, and he'll come and make his abode with you, and you will become the new creation, and the miracle of Easter will become yours. It won't be just a once-a-year thing where you put on your finest and come to church. It'll be every day, all day. You'll be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ every day when you get up and look out the window and you just see God everywhere. You'll be celebrating it because he's now living inside of you. Let's bow our heads, and I'm just going to lead you all. Let's all pray it together, please, for the sake of somebody that wants to pray that maybe for the first time today. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. You died for me so that I could be forgiven and I could have eternal life. Today, I open my heart to you. I invite you into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. I believe that this very moment, You are forgiving my sin, all the wrong that I have done. And you're making me your child. From this day forward, help me to live for you. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. If you prayed that, go ahead and clap. Go ahead and clap. The Bible says you mean so much to God that you've caused a celebration in heaven. Jesus said the angels of heaven rejoice over one person that comes to Christ as Lord and Savior. And so you just caused a shout around about the throne of God. If you'd like to talk to any of the leaders of the church today, or all the elders will be here at the end of the service. If you prayed that prayer and you'd like to know more about what do I do now, just come and they'll pray with you. And we'll try to help you get started in your walk with God. God bless you.